Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to remind you about our other podcast. You can check out The Amazing World of Radio at amazing.greatdetectives.net, where I post a variety of specials, including series that are voted on by our Patreon supporters. And we're just wrapping up tomorrow our 10-episode series of Great Movies Over Radio as we take a listen to the radio adaptation of The Wizard of Oz. And you can check that out as well as all our past shows at amazing.greatdetectives.net. And then there's Public Domain Video Theater, which features a different video each week as we take a listen to other episodes of Dragnet or Boston Blackie now. So you can check that out, videotheater.greatdetectives.net. And then there's my series, the Classic Comics Podcast. If you're into comics, this podcast is for you as we focus on trying to find the best comics in the universe. Check it out, classiccomicsguy.com. All right, well, now it's time for today's episode of Boston Blackie. The original air date, April 26th and April 27th, 1944. It's time for Kidnap for Sale, Parts 8 and 9.
What is it?
It's a case for Nick Carter, Master Detective.
Yes, it's a case for the most famous of all manhunters, the detective whose ability at solving crime is unequaled in the history of detective fiction. Nick Carter, Master Detective. Continuing the curious adventure called
Kidnapped for Sale, or Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Missing Babies.
Putting together several clues he had uncovered, Nick Carter learned that Mrs. Anders' baby, stolen by the baby ring that has been acquiring babies in any way it can and selling them to couples eager to adopt them, had been sold to a Mr. and Mrs. Smith living on Main Street in Midvale. Hurrying to Midvale with Scubby, Nick got there just too late. A man with a foreign accent had gotten the baby back from the Smiths and disappeared with it again. Nick, uncertain of his next move, gets a phone call from Randolph Phelps, the head of the board of the Infants Hospital, who says he is eager to help stamp out the gang. Phelps says that the man with the accent has made an appointment to call on him in about an hour. So Nick and Scubby start immediately for the Phelps estate.
Gosh, Nick, that phone call from Phelps was a break, wasn't it?
Yes, Scubby. It looks as if things are coming our way at last.
Well, it's sure about time. So far, the gang has been one jump ahead of us all the way.
But we're catching up with them, though. I'm only worried about one thing, Scubby.
Oh, you mean the baby?
Yes, Scubby. I've got to get that baby back safe and sound. After promising Mrs. Anders to stop hunting for it, I can't let anything happen to it.
Yeah, you're right, Nick.
I was staking everything on finding the baby with Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but since the gang's one jump ahead of us, we've got to catch up with them, and quickly.
Oh, Nick.
Yes, what is it?
If that man who took the baby is on his way now to talk to Phelps, maybe he'll have the baby with him. He only got it from the Smiths an hour ago.
No, Scubby, I'm afraid not. He's probably left it in some safe hiding place. But if my hunch is right, it won't be too far away.
Gosh, I hope you're right. Hey, why do you suppose he wants to talk to Phelps?
Well, as a member of the board of directors of the Infants Hospital, Phelps is in the position to obtain a lot of information that would be helpful to the gang.
Oh, sure, Nick. If they could get Phelps to help them, they'd be sitting pretty.
Yes, Phelps would be a big asset to that gang, Scubby. Oh, that crossroad just ahead will save us a mile in getting to Riverton. You better turn there.
Okay, Nick. I sure hope we can reach Phelps' place before the man with the accent does. Nick, that must be the Phelps' place up there ahead of us on the hill.
Oh, yes. He said it was the first estate on River Road after we turned off the highway, so that's the place, all right.
And that must be the drive leading up to the house. Oh, shall I turn in?
Yes, but take it slowly, Scubby. Take it slowly.
Yeah.
And turn off the headlights.
Right. Gosh, it's dark with the lights off.
Now, there's light enough if you take it easy. Follow the drive all the way around behind the house to the garage. Our man hasn't come yet. We don't want him to see our car when he does get here. Ah, that must be the Phelps car outside the garage. Pull up beside it.
Right, Nick. Well, there's no other car here yet. So I guess we did get here before the guy with the accent.
I hope so. I want to talk to Phelps first, if possible. Let's see now. Phelps said to come to the back door.
Yeah.
Now, let's see where... Oh, yes, that is. There it is. Come on.
Hey, we really are out in the country. Listen to those crickets.
There they are. And the doorbell. Scubby, let me have your gun.
My gun?
Yes. You brought one along, didn't you?
Oh, sure. Wait a minute. Here it is.
Thanks.
But, Nick, don't you have
it? Here comes someone.
Yes? Who is it?
Nick Carter. Mr. Phelps is expecting me. This is my assistant.
Oh, of course. Come in, please. Mr. Phelps is in the study. Right this way, please.
Thank you.
Mr. Carter and his assistant are here, Mr. Phelps.
Good. Come in, Mr. Carter. I'm certainly glad to see you.
And I'm glad we could get here in time. This is my assistant, Scubby Wilson.
How do you do, Mr. Wilson?
How do you do?
Please sit down, both of you, and... Oh, Harry.
Yes, Mr. Farrell?
Wait in the front hall until the caller we're expecting gets here. Warn me on the communicator before you show him in, though.
Certainly, Mr. Farrell.
Now, Mr. Carter, I want your advice. Should we try to capture this man the minute he gets here, or should we hear what he has to say first?
I'd like to hear what he has to say, and the more he talks about himself and his gang, the better I'll like it.
That's my idea, exactly.
But, Nick, suppose he brings some of his gunmen with him?
We have to take that chance, Scubby. But I have a hunch he's traveling practically alone tonight. When he got Mrs. Anders' baby from the Smiths, we know he didn't have more than one man with him.
You say he got Mrs. Anders' baby?
Yes, Mr. Phelps. We almost got it back, but he beat us to it again.
I'm very sorry to hear that. You have some clue as to where it's gone, I hope?
No, not a sign of
it. Well, that is nothing very tangible. But we have enough to keep us going.
I see. However, I understand you have had some success in rounding up some of the less important members of the ring. I suppose with what you've learned from them, you have a pretty good line on the rest of the gang.
Oh, we don't really have...
Yes, indeed, Mr. Phelps. Riley's working on that now. Although he hasn't completely analyzed all the information yet.
Oh, I see. Well, I hope we can stamp out the entire gang soon. I agreed to talk to this fellow with the accent in the hope that we could learn something from him.
I'm very glad you did. And I'm glad you got in touch with me. I hope to find out a great deal tonight.
But, Nick, how are we going to get him to talk? If he sees us, he's
probably...
We'll
have to hide someplace where we can overhear you, Mr. Phelps. Let's see. What about that alcove there where the windows are?
Oh, yes, of course. That should be just the thing.
Oh, I see. And when the time comes, we can jump out and take him by surprise.
Mm-hmm. And I think it'll work. Get as much out of him as you can, Mr. Phelps.
Trust me for that. Now, there's just one other thing.
Yes? What?
The butler and the maids are out tonight. Besides yourselves, there's just me and my secretary here now. You think we ought to send for any help?
You mean the cops?
I was thinking of the state police, just to be on the safe side.
All right, can't do any harm.
It'll just take a second. Hello, operator. 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 Operator, give me the state police barracks on Meridian Road. Yes, that's right. We can be sure now that he won't get away.
Yes.
Hello? State police? This is Mr. Randolph Phelps speaking. Can you send two of your men over at once? Yes, it's urgent. You know where I live, don't you? On River Road? Good. I'll expect them inside of 20 minutes. Thank you. Ah, there. Now I think we're prepared. Our visitors should be here at any minute. You're armed, of course.
Yes, I have a gun. You engage him in conversation. When I think the right time has come, I'll step out and cover him. He won't get away.
Excellent, Mr. Carter. Now,
He's here.
Yes? Hello?
Your caller is here, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you. Show him in.
Yes, sir.
You'd better get set.
Yes, come on, Scubby. Let's get behind those drapes.
Sure, Nick.
The gentleman to see you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you, Harry. See that we aren't disturbed.
Yes, sir.
Well, Mr. Phelps, this is a pleasure. It's quite a few years since we met last.
We never have met, to my knowledge. And I like to know a man's name when I'm speaking to him.
Oh, too bad, Mr. Phelps. I like to keep my name a secret. But let's sit down, shall we? I think I have something to say that you'll be most interested in.
That's what you said on the phone. I cannot imagine what you can have to say that will interest me.
Nick, we might as that's well the guy out. Who's got the baby, all right.
Yes, and he's still wearing the whipcord slacks Mrs. Smith mentioned.
Nick, I've got a funny idea. I've seen him before, but I don't know where. Maybe I saw a picture of him in the paper sometime.
Yes, Gubby, you probably did. Oh, I place him now. 15 years ago, he drove a truck for a rum-running gang. He used the name of Danny the Frenchman.
But, Nick, what are we going
to... Quiet, Scubby, I want to hear this.
Down to business and say what you have to say. My time is limited.
All right, Mr. Phelps. Here it is. You're on the board of the Infants Hospital. You have connections with other nursing homes.
What of it?
Well, just this. We want you to give us the names of people coming to the hospital to adopt babies. Also, the names of all mothers in the hospital records who are in financial difficulty.
That's perfectly preposterous.
Oh, is it? Not for $50,000 a year, it is.
$50,000?
Whatever made you think I'd agree to such a proposition?
Because, Mr. Phelps, that's quite a bit of money. And think how easy it is to earn it. And in a way, you will be a public benefactor. Think of all these well-fixed people who desire to adopt fine little babies, who will be just making things easier for them, and you will be well paid for it. Nobody will be hurt. Everybody will benefit.
Hear that, Nick?
Yes, maybe. And maybe not. But I certainly wouldn't dream of associating with you unless I knew more about you. How does your organization work?
Oh, very simply, Mr. Ferris. We have men constantly on the lookout for mothers who wish to part with their babies, and also for couples who want babies to adopt. We act as middlemen for a fee, of course, a large fee.
That doesn't tell me much, I'm afraid.
You will learn more later when you have joined us, sir. You see, with your contacts, Mr. Phelps, we will be able to dispense with many of these other men, and the profits will be that much greater.
But what about the risk? Suppose Nick Carter and the police catch up with you, then what?
Nick Carter, yes. He's been a little bothersome of late.
And how?
I have lost 3 of my best men because of him. One of them, my chief lieutenant.
To me, it seems very important.
Very soon now, I shall take care of Nick Carter. And the police are much too stupid to be of danger.
Suppose I turn down your offer.
Well, that would be very unwise, Mr. Phelps. Very unwise.
Yes, I see what you mean. But you've got to give me a little time to think.
Oh, as long as you wish, Mr. Phelps. Up to 2 minutes.
Phelps is sure doing a good job of acting, Nick.
Yes, Gilly, a very good job of acting.
I'll say so. Hey, Nick, I think I heard a car stop outside the house then.
So did I.
Must be the state troopers that Phelps sent for.
Probably. Well, Skippy, I think the time has come for action. Up with your hands, Danny. I've got you covered.
What the...
Don't reach for that gun or I'll let you have it.
Good work, Carter.
Nick Carter.
Yes, Danny. Nick Carter. Now stand up. That's right. And keep your hands up.
Say, what is this?
Get his gun, Skippy.
Okay. I'll get it.
Never mind, Mr. Phelps. Skippy will take it.
Yeah. Okay, I got it, Nick. Now what?
Give me the gun.
Yeah, here.
Now, we'll tie him up first, and then he's going to do a little more talking.
You will regret this, Phelps.
Mr. Phelps, you put in a call for some state troopers?
Yes, I did. Come in.
Come in, Lefty.
Hey, those are 2 of the toughest-looking state troopers I ever saw. Hey, one of them's got a Tommy gun.
Ask him.
All right, Carter. You and your chum put up your hands, or I'll cut you both in half with this gun I got here.
But, hey, you don't want us. You want him.
That's what you think. Put up your hands quick. You too, Phelps. That's better.
But you're making a mistake.
I'll say you are.
I don't think so, Scubby. I've been afraid of something like this all along. These men mean what they say.
You bet we do. Danny, collect our guns.
It will be a pleasure. I'll take my gun back again, Mr. Carter. And your own gun. Thank you. Have you any other weapons? No, you're clean. You have no gun, Wilson?
No.
No. No, you're clean also. And you don't carry one, do you, Mr. Phelps?
I don't know what this means, but if you harm us, you'll have every cop in the state after you by morning.
Ha ha, the police. With Nick Carter dead, the police do not worry me.
I'm not dead yet, Danny.
No? That's a very nice point. Hardly worth considering. Trigger, tie these 3 up.
Yeah, sure thing, Danny. Who'll I tie up first?
Tie Phelps first, Trigger.
Okay, Danny. All right, boys, turn around and put your hands behind you.
Boss, so I was right. You are the head of the gang.
That's absurd.
Oh, no, it isn't. This gunman of yours gave you away when he called you boss. I suspected you all along, Phelps, but I couldn't prove it until now.
Trigger, you're a fool.
Oh, gee, boss, I forgot.
Well, Phelps, what have you got to say?
Very well, Carter, you're right. But it's a little late, don't you think? Tie them up, Trigger.
Boss.
Yes, what's the matter?
I just remembered I left the rope in the car.
You fool! Go get it!
Yeah, boss, right away. I'll only be a minute.
Well, Phelps,
Since it seems we have to wait, I hope we can at least sit down. Been rather an unexpected evening.
Of course, Carter. Sit down, by all means. I don't wonder your knees are feeling a little weak about now.
Thanks.
You too, Wilson. Sit down. No, no, no. Over there, farther away from Carter.
It's okay. You're the boss.
I'm glad you realize that.
I suppose that you're going to kill us in such a way that it'll look like an accident, huh?
Yes, Carter. And such an unfortunate accident, too. You recall as you came down the river road, that spot just at the turn where there's a sheer 50-foot drop into the river?
Oh, yes, yes. I remember.
That is going to be the scene of your death. Your car, Carter, is going to go off the highway right there and roll down the bank into the river. You and Wilson will be in it, of course. You'll drown, and that will be that.
You're overlooking something, Phelps. Riley knows we came here.
Yeah, and so does Patsy. They'll never believe it was an accident.
I think they will. Every sign will point to the fact that on your way here, you ran off the road into the river. As for your Miss Bowen, I think I'll take care of that right now. Hello, operator.
What's he up to now, Nick?
I think I can guess, Gabby. Let's see if I'm right.
Operator, give me downtown 1137.
Nick, that's your office number.
I know, Gabby.
Shut up, you two.
Hello? Miss Bowen? Miss Bowen, this is Randolph Phelps. I'm rather worried about Mr. Carter. Yes. You see, an hour ago he phoned me that he was on his way here and he hasn't shown up yet. You haven't heard from him? Well, if you do, let me know. And you might get in touch with Lieutenant Riley. Perhaps he'll know something. Yes, I'll have Mr. Carter call if he gets here. Good night. Now, Carter, in the morning when your secretary hears you have had an accident, it will seem quite natural, both to her and to Riley.
You're forgetting one important thing, Phelps.
And what is that?
Riley is already suspicious of you.
Indeed. Why should he be?
Remember that first time you came down to headquarters to ask about Mrs. Anders' baby? That was a bad slip, Phelps. Nobody knew anything about the baby except myself and the police, and we hadn't talked. You could only have known about it if you yourself were connected with the gang.
If you suspected me then, why didn't you do something about it?
I couldn't just then. I was principally interested in getting the baby back. And I knew if you were part of the gang, I'd round you up when I got the rest of them.
And you've rounded me up by getting yourself into a death trap from which there's no escape. Brilliant, Carter.
Say, I don't get it, Phelps. If you were planning all along to grab us, why all the hocus pocus? Why didn't you just nab us the minute we came in the house?
Frankly, Wilson, because I didn't want to try anything with Nick Carter until I could have enough of my own men here to make sure we would win. I couldn't risk any slip-up.
So that call to the state police was a fake, huh?
Of course. I simply held the hook down and talked into a dead phone. Lefty and Trigger were already on the way from town, but I had to play you along until they arrived.
Okay, boss, I got the rope.
What took you so long?
Well, Harry and me, we was figuring out the best place to run the car into the river.
You were figuring out. I do the thinking around here. Now get busy and tie Carter up.
Sure, boss. All right, stand up, Carter. I got a special treat for you. A silk rope. It's an old Chinese trick. Once it's tied, nobody can untie it. It's gotta be cut loose.
And suppose I don't stand up?
Then you'll get a load of lead and you won't be able to stand up.
I see. Phelps, you have a nice plan. But suppose I don't cooperate? Suppose I make you shoot me now instead of letting you drown me later? And your whole accident story will be out the window.
I could change it if I had to. But I'm warning you, Carter. You're going to die anyway, so you'd better take it my way. Give us any trouble and we'll kill the Anders baby immediately.
So you have the Anders baby here?
Yes, right upstairs in this house. And its life depends on your good behavior. If you give us no trouble, we'll see that the baby gets back to Mrs. Anders safe and sound.
That's the one thing I wanted to know. All right, Trigger, I'll stand up.
And there.
Stand still with you in front of me like this, Trigger. I don't think your pals will shoot. If they do, they'll get you first.
Get him, Lefty. He's got a gun.
Duck, Trigger, so I can get a shot at him.
I can't, Lefty. He's holding me too tight.
Then I'll have to shoot anyway.
That takes care of you, Lefty. You better drop your gun, Danny.
Not till I kill you.
You got Trigger, Danny, but not me. But I'll get you good.
You got him, Nick. Right through the shoulder. Nick, Phelps got away. And he's locked us in here.
Step back, Scotty. This time we got our lefties. We'll take care of the door. There goes the lock, and here goes the door. All right, come on, Scotty.
Nick, the car. They're going to get away.
We'll see about that.
Well, they're halfway down the drive, Nick.
Maybe we can still stop them.
No, you missed them, Nick. You missed them.
I don't think so. Watch, Scotty. The curve. They're not taking it.
Golly, Nick, you stopped them, all right.
Yes. That was the secretary at the wheel.
Nick, I winged him.
Hey, we better go down and see if there's anything left of them. Gosh, Nick, with Trigger dead and Lefty and Danny and they're ready for the hospital, and now Phelps and the secretary down there in the wreck, why, it's practically bingo.
Yes, Gilby, I think the gang's finished now. We can phone the state troopers to come take them off our hands. Before I give those rats any first aid, I'm going to make sure Mrs. Anders' baby is all right.
Oh, gosh, the baby. I was almost forgetting him. I wonder if he's okay. Hey, Nick. There he is now.
Huh.
Oh, listen to those yells. I'll say he's all right. He couldn't yell like that if he wasn't.
Didn't like the shooting, Scotty, so he's letting us know about it.
Isn't that just like a baby? He waits till everything is over, and then he starts yelling.
Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where never is heard a
What's the matter, Nick? Your voice give out?
No. He's asleep at last.
Oh, and it's about time, too. He's been yelling ever since we left Phelps' place.
Yes. I certainly hope Patsy has Mrs. Anders at the office when we get there. I'll be glad to give him back to her.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, when Trigger started to tie you up, where'd you get that gun? All of a sudden, it was in your hand, and you were using Trigger for a shield, and bang, 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 like what it was just like in the movies.
That gun, Scubby, was my ace in the hole. I planted it behind the cushion of the chair I was sitting in when I first entered the room. It was your gun, the one I got from you before we entered the Phelps house.
Well, may I be kissed by a whale.
Oh, try the baby.
But, Nick, what made you plant the gun anyway?
Well, Scubby, I was suspicious of Phelps from the first. His visit to headquarters the other day put me on guard, but I had no proof. And besides, my main purpose was to learn where the baby was. I was afraid we were stepping into a trap tonight, but I had to take that chance in order to find out exactly what had become of the baby.
Oh, yeah, of course, Nick.
Planting your gun in the chair when we first sat down was a safety precaution.
Well, it sure saved our bacon, Nick, and cooked Mr. Phelps' goose.
Well, I'll certainly be glad when I turn this kid over to its mother. You know, Scubby, it's funny. I almost break my neck trying to find the baby, and then when I do find it, I can't wait until I can get rid of it. Oh, am I glad to be rid of that baby. I don't mind tackling a few gunmen, but I hope I never again have to hold a crying baby for an hour.
Maybe he didn't like home on the range, Nick. You should have tried something else.
That's the only tune Nick knows. Now, Nick, you're not going to get away with it.
Get away with what?
With acting as if you're too tired to talk. You're going to tell me what happened or else.
Yeah, Nick, there are still some things I want to know, too.
Oh, have a heart, will you? It's 1 a.m.
All right, Nick, I'll be easy on you. Just give me the gist of it, and I'll save my questions until morning.
All right, Patsy. Well, first of all, Phelps was the head of the baby-selling gang, of course.
I'd gathered that.
As a member of the board of the Infants Hospital, he got wind of the racket some months ago.
Mm-hmm.
He needed money badly, so he took it over and organized it. The hospital records were a great help in locating unwanted babies and in contacting couples seeking to adopt babies.
Of course.
Yeah, Patsy, we got all that from Danny, the Frenchman, before the state police came to take him to the state hospital. Phelps and his secretary were both killed outright when their car crashed.
Oh, I see. And, of course, Phelps always worked through someone else.
Yes. Up to the end, practically none of the gang knew his identity because he always gave his orders over the phone. It was only desperation that made him go after Mrs. Anders' baby himself. The same desperation that made him set his trap for us.
And what a trap. Phelps was one smooth article, believe you me.
Yes, you bet he was. Of course, all the elaborate interview between Danny and Phelps was for the purpose of keeping me interested until Lefty and Trigger could get there. Oh, Phelps did have another reason for it, too.
What was that, Nick?
Wanted to draw me out, find out just how much the police and I knew, so that after he killed us, he'd know just what kind of a story to tell Riley to fool him. Yes, from his standpoint, it was a good plan, perfectly worked out. There was only one thing wrong with it.
Well, what was that, Nick?
It didn't work.
Nick!
Oh, now, please let me stop talking. I want to make a suggestion. What do you say we all take a vacation?
Oh, a vacation is just what I need after tonight. Hey, how about you, Patsy?
You took the words right out of my mouth, Scotty. Where would we go, Nick?
Well, how about Greensboro? It's a tiny little town up in the mountains, fishing, hiking, and horseback riding.
Greensboro sounds like another name for heaven.
All but that part about hiking and horseback riding. I like to vacation sitting down.
And we can sleep all day and never lift a finger. And there'll be no robberies, no murders, nobody shooting at us. In fact, for a whole week, we'll be able to forget there is such a thing as crime. Well, what do you say?
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion is carried.
Good. We'll leave for Greensboro the first thing in the morning.
So Nick and his two associates are going to take a vacation in a little town of Greensboro where there's no crime and no criminals. All they're going to do there is loaf. I wonder what they'd think if they knew that in Greensboro they were going to meet a magician who walks out of locked prison cells at will, and a dead man whose body disappears into thin air the instant after he's murdered. No excitement? Well, for the beginning of a new and thrilling adventure with Nick Carter, listen tomorrow. The Strange Adventures of Nick Carter, Master Detective, features Lon Clark as Nick Carter. Patsy is played by Helen Choate. The stories are written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan, and original music is played by Lou White. The entire production is under the direction of Jock McGregor. Tomorrow night at the same time, listen to the opening chapter of a new and exciting adventure of Nick Carter entitled
Death by Magic, or Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Vanishing Corpse.
The adventures of Nick's adopted son, Chick Carter, boy detective, are broadcast over most of these stations Monday through Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Wartime. Nick's own show, The Return of Nick Carter, a copyrighted feature of Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated, is presented by the Mutual Broadcasting System and is broadcast from our New York studios over most of these stations every evening, Monday through Friday, at 9:15 Eastern Wartime. This is Mutual.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site, where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Well, there were a few issues in this particular installment. I think that the villain calling in and us hearing his voice really does give away the game, because if attentive members of the radio audience would know that just based on voice who the boss really was. And I also thought the way it was revealed in the final episode was just a bit clumsy. It relies on the stupidity of the thugs in order to carry the plot forward. One thing I did like about this installment is I think that the way that Nick avoided ultimate capture and defeat was a very clever but simple approach. It wasn't something that would strain credulity. You could absolutely see him doing it, and it made perfect logical sense. So I like that part, and overall, I really did enjoy this serial. It was very well produced. It had some good cliffhangers and an interesting problem, and I thought the villain was superb in portraying this sense of menace. While there were a few things that could be improved on, I think this was up to the quality of an average Yours Truly Johnny Dollar serial. Unfortunately, we don't have any additional serials. We, of course, do have The Accidental Bullet, which we played when we were going through Nick Carter originally. Hopefully, we'll have more episodes emerge so that we can enjoy more, but we are by no means done with Nick Carter. We have three previously uncirculated half-hour episodes of Nick Carter we'll bring you over the next 3 weeks. And then for the rest of the season, we'll bring you Security Agent USA. And following that, it will be That Strong Guy. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.